Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for sharing time with us on the program today. In the new book, It's About Time, How to Do More of What Matters in the Time You Have, Sean McBride and Shannon Gregg lead readers on a new path to effective time management and productivity with a holistic approach to achieving balance in work and life. The authors are busy professionals who have taken control of their time, and they're sharing their secrets with you in the new book. Our Sean McBride, co-author, back with us on This Week in America. Sean is a corporate business attorney, author, CPA, business strategist, and public speaker. He's the CEO and Chief Innovation Officer, McBride for Business, a managing member of the R. Sean McBride Law Firm, an in-demand speaker and trainer. He tells his audiences and the members to go big or go home, inspiring them to set ambitious goals and adopt time management techniques to turn dreams into reality. Sean has a passion for business and helping business owners build companies that stand the test of time. His keynote presentation teaches business owners to make their companies more stable and engage employees, so while they may help the company, they're also achieving their personal goals. Our Sean McBride, the author of Business Blunders, 10 Dangerous Business Mistakes, How to Protect Your Business So It Can Thrive. We talked to Sean about that book. It's available in our archive at thisweekinamerica.us. And now, co-author of It's About Time, How to Do More of What Matters in the Time You Have. And Sean is back with us on This Week in America. Hi, Sean. It's great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. It's been a fun journey with the new book coming out and engaging with people and really taking the whole time management topic to a whole new level.
And you've got a different approach. It's an approach that is sort of, you can read it and you can adapt it to your individual lifestyle. And you do talk about that, the fact that, you know, time management, one size doesn't fit all, does it?
That's right. And that's been the interesting thing. We kind of knew this from working with our clients, and we've been working with our people for years. And of course, Shannon and I, the co-authors, we've adopted different time management systems over the years. And now that we've been out there in front of audiences more often, now the book's come out, that's the feedback we keep getting. People are so frustrated because they're like, I read this popular time management book, I read that popular time management book, and it didn't, you know, gel with me, or it didn't seem like it really worked in my world. We've come up with something where we really say, think about your goals and objectives and build a time management system that works to you. So it's much more individualized than your common book out there.
And it's easy to read. You're not trying to overwhelm us with the fact that you've got all these degrees and jobs and you're a busy guy. I mean, you're just laying it out there in simple terms that we can apply to our lives. And there's something contradictory about when you read a book on time management and you feel after it's over with that it's been a waste of time, because sometimes that, you know, that is the case and that is frustrating. You start with the premise, and this is interesting, there is a difference between needing more time and making the most of the time you have. And you talk about, you and I have the same amount of time as everybody. We got 168 hours in the week. It's up to us to try to figure out how to spend that time. So you're approaching it from a standpoint, let's figure out how to make the best of the time that you already have.
Right, exactly. I mean, you look at the busiest people and you look at the people that are least engaged in the world, and we all have got the same 168 hours in a week. The question is, how do you use it? You know, and you're obviously, most of us are going to start by carving some time out for sleep, health, family, all the basic needs. And then you're going to have some block of time that's left. And it's really your job, each of our job, to use that to propel us to where we want to be in life. So, you know, everybody, the phrase is always thrown around, and I've caught myself saying it before, you know, I wish I had a few more hours in a day. I wish I had a little more time to get something done. What that really is saying is, you know, we're not doing an effective job of fully prioritizing what we have to get done. There's things that we're wanting to get done, and we're not making choices to not do other things. So we really have to be very cognizant of the fact we get that 168 hours a week given to us every week. Then we get to choose where we're going with that with it.
And you give us a roadmap to get there. And there's so many things we're doing now, and we think we're doing them effectively, and they're actually stealing time from us that we could be focused on something else. The book we're talking about is It's About Time, How to Do More of What Matters in the Time You Have. Our guest on the program, co-author R. Sean McBride. Shannon Gregg is the other co-author of the book. You start by something that is very simple, but I'm sure most of us ignore that, and that's the plan. You have to have the plan before you understand how to effectively spend your time. talk about the role of the plan in that sort of the basis, the core, the foundation of time management.
That's been the experience I've had. When you jump into this time management topic, so many of these books start with, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And you've got to get all this to get everything done that you're working on, right? I mean, it just starts from the premise of do more of whatever you're doing or be more effective doing what you're doing. We step back a step prior to that. Why are you doing this? What are you trying to accomplish? And I think that needs to be the foundational piece of any time management system, is not speed up doing what you're doing, but think about what you're doing and why you're doing it and where you're going with it.
And you'll probably find you're spending a lot of time working on tasks that really are not advancing that plan.
Right. When we work with teams, we work with executives, that's what we find, you know. And the interesting thing is when we go into sales teams, and my co-author Shannon is big about the five whys. Why are you doing this? Why is the reason for that? You know, if you ask yourself why five times for any problem, you'll get back to a core issue. And so often what we have is we have a lack of focus on the goal. You know, why is the sales team, the sales manager is coming to us frustrated? Why is the sales team spending so much time at the water cooler? Well, they're not focused on their goal. They're not separating their work time and their personal time. But when we drive through that kind of thinking, we get to a solution of, you know, why are we getting where we're getting to and why are we doing what we're doing? But it all comes back to an examination of what's the goal here.
And in the book, it's about time. You really do a good documentation of the fact that if you write it down, chances are better that you can actually fulfill this.
Right. There's been research that's shown us that writing down, you know, leads us to better accomplishment of goals. So that's part of it, is write down the goals. And the writing actually forces you to think a little bit about why you're doing what you're doing. Why are you going where you're going? When you actually take that time to write your goals down, it forces your mind to focus on that goal. And then you can start dividing your time up to get to that goal.
You talk about paying attention and the importance of that. And this is interesting because we did a program years ago in a book called The Myth of Multitasking. And up to that point, at least in my world, if you weren't a multitasker, you pretty much were getting behind everybody else because everybody is able to juggle these five or six things. And if you can't do it, you're behind right out of the starting gate. It's interesting you talk about interruptions and multitasking and the ability to do a lot of things in a mediocre fashion.
Right. And the research has really come to support the book.
Thankfully, yes.
And so, you know, we're all still inclined to try to do two or three things at once, but you're doing things not well. And for a lot of us that get into jobs where we have to think and we have to process, one of the real myths is people will try to do multiple things at once. You never get into that deep thinking. So we have all this great education. We have this great experience. We have all these great things we can bring to the world. But if we're doing 10 things at once, if we're trying to work on, you know, strategizing for our client and somebody's walking into our door every 5 minutes, we never get into the deeper thought. We never see the complete picture. So part of managing the time is building processes and systems so that you can block time out to accomplish the things that are truly important, to focus on your big accounts in an uninterrupted way so you can really take your whole career to a whole new level.
Something that we sort of take for granted, and you talk about it in the book, it's about time, interruptions. We just sort of accept them, and when you stop and think about it, okay, after I've now lost my train of thought, the thought process, I've got to go back and reestablish and go on from there. You're really losing a lot of time. It can be a 30-second, like you said, interruption. If somebody walks in the office and then drops off something, chats, and turns around and walks out of there, that can set you back a significant amount of time.
Yeah, there's different research out there, kind of different numbers, but the interruption is anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 to 20 minutes, depending on which source you look at. But just that little break in your concentration, you know, where was I in the middle of that paragraph? What thought was I working on at that moment? Where was I in the overall flow of what I was trying to say to my client? Wherever you are in a process, if somebody comes in and stops you, you really do have to restart from ground zero, and to be fully engaged, it loses a lot of time. So just a simple task of, you know, for executives having blocked time where it says from, you know, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'm going to be in my office working on reviewing a client proposal, you know, you put a do not disturb on the door. That can have a huge impact on the results you get for the week.
I was going to say, talking about block time and how you go about doing it, because you've got the business, you've got the law, you're getting ready, and again, an in-demand speaker. The website, by the way, yourbusinessspeaker.com, and I talked about, and you'll see some of his speeches on YouTube, and if you go to the website, you'll get information there, an in-demand speaker. So you've got speeches you're working on, you've got business you're working on, probably another book that you're working on, even as we speak. How important is it for you to compartmentalize and to work on a specific task, stop that, and go to the next one?
Yeah, for me, my week will typically have a number of blocks in it. And I'm also, you know, and some of my clients use a very similar strategy to mine, which is I have long-term objectives. And I know if I'm going to meet a long-term objective, like the next book I'm working on, I know I have to put several hours a week into that book. I might be able to move that several hours a week, but if I don't get several hours in to move that book forward, it's not been a successful week as far as getting that book done. So a lot of my clients, we look at our objectives and what we're doing, and we make sure that every week we're making milestones that are getting us to where we want to go. So for myself, it's critical to say, what are my major tasks? What are both the things that are critical to servicing clients now, to get ready for that next speech, to help that consulting client that maybe is bringing together a partnership agreement or something? How am I helping them and accomplishing that short-range goal? But also, how am I developing that next training or that next program or that next thing that's going to help the business 6 months or a year from now? And I'm dividing my time between all those buckets so that I'm not just doing short-range work and I'm not just doing long-range work.
R. Sean McBride, our guest on This Week in America, talking about his new book, It's About Time, How to Do More of What Matters in the Time You Have. Author Sean, as well as Shannon Gregg, the book's available wherever books are sold. You'll find information at the website, yourbusinessspeaker.com. You'll find it at Amazon as well, and you can link on directly to Sean's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Our time is going by too quickly, and I really want to talk about delegation, being able to delegate. And you've got business people that are like, I'm going to do it myself. You talk in your book and you look at delegation as really actually creating more time for you. That's something that's very simple to do and allows you to do what you do best.
Right. Absolutely. Delegation is very important, and it has to be mindful delegation. You know, the one thing that really comes before delegation, and a lot of books don't talk about it, is should this task even be delegated? You know, we want to free up time. That is the ultimate thing. We want to use our time for our best, most value-added, most critical functions. So everybody should be thinking in terms of that. Then tasks that are not our highest value-added, can we delegate them to somebody who can do them for us on a routine basis, keep us moving forward, keep that process happening? Or can we even eliminate that process? You know, that's another possible avenue, and some of our clients are experimenting with that now. Rework your business flow to where you're only focusing on the highest value added. Remove the low value added items so that you don't even have to spend time on them. You don't even have to supervise somebody doing them. So you need to think about your overall business and process. But there's a lot of opportunity here to open up time so that you can really get into the things that you do great and help the world the most.
And you talk about that as captured power, fascinating chapter in the book. The book is about time. The chapter we're talking about is delegate. A couple minutes left on the program. I want to talk about something that everybody faces, and this is just, it's great to have all this information and technology. We can do things we wouldn't even have dreamt about doing 15, 20 years ago. But boy, trying to manage all of this and trying at midnight while you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to check your email to see if you get a response from Hong Kong. Talk about trying to juggle technology.
Yeah, you know, and it is a juggle. Juggle is a great word for it, right? These should be enablers. You know, our technology should speed up communication, allow us to do things more quickly. But so often that technology becomes a crutch or even a shackle. It holds us back. You know, checking our email in the middle of the night means that we don't get a complete night's sleep. Phone calls in the middle of a family dinner means you don't fully engage in there. So one of the things we talk about in managing your time is being very intentional about the implementation and use of technology. Definitely technology. We're not saying go back to handwritten lists or to work out of a calendar that's in front of you in a written binder form. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is think about how you're using that technology, how it flows into your overall flow of the use of your time, And is it creating a better use of your time? Is it saving time? Or is it disrupting you such that you're losing time? And a lot of people find, because of text messaging and other things, they have conversations that go on too long. They're not focused. And if you maybe say to your – maybe if you get your clients in the habit of writing you a longer email that fully addresses all the issues they're having and explains the background, you can come in and address it one time rather than a conversation that might be 100 text messages.
I'm going to wrap up in this, and we'll do another segment on this because there's so many interesting things that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Sean McBride, our guest on the program, the book It's About Time. His website is yourbusinessspeaker.com. Talk about social media. We're all thinking, okay, I need to check and see what's going on in the world and see what my friends are up to and family up to. And then you get there and it's like, has this been the best use of the 25 minutes of leisure time I've allotted for myself here to be on social media? How should we handle that? How should we incorporate that in our life?
Yeah, the first thing we tell people is to think about what social media is to you. And is social media a business tool for you or is it a stress reliever? Let's get it into a clear bucket of why we're on social media. Then we can think about how much time we want to spend on it. And some people, if you're putting social media in the stress reliever bucket, I have many people come to me and say, you know, I'm more upset or frustrated after I spend 20 or 25 minutes on social media reading about, you know, people that are upset about this or that, arguing over things, than what they would have been if they didn't spend it there. So if social media is in your stress reliever bucket and it's not effectively relieving your stress, I would challenge you to rethink the use of that time and whether you should spend 25 minutes there. Maybe it's 10 minutes just to make sure you see those latest pictures from your family or get updated on current events. But is it fulfilling the purpose you want, and is that consistent with the amount of time you want to spend on it? Now, if it's a business tool and you're spending 25 minutes on there and 25 minutes is the right number for your long-term plans in your business, that's great and you're accomplishing your goal. But a lot of people are using it for a social avenue and fun. And if you're doing that, are you really getting the most bang for your time?
I ended up blocking so many people because I was going through that at the end of the session. I'm like irritated and I'm thinking I was better off before I even knew this is the way a friend of mine felt about this particular issue. So I blocked, and you can block it without them knowing that you're blocking them. So I got like two people that I'm now friends with on Facebook on an active basis. And I would assume, and I'm going to take 30 seconds and we got to wrap up here, that if you're using it for a business, on a business basis, you better keep it strictly to business or you're going to open yourself up to being blocked by somebody.
Right. You need to think about your messaging and your brand. I mean, this is an extension of you. You're typically not going to want to talk about politics or religion or these types of issues. Although there's an opportunity if it's consistent with your business and you can do it in a professional manner.
Yes.
You know, it's a good way to showcase you and your decision making and the fact that you can have a professional conversation over a heated topic. But you do have to understand the risk, which is, you know, your political views or your religious views or any of these personal views you express, they may cost you some clients. So you have to understand how that fits in your overall marketing plan and whether you really, you know, want to bolster those relationships with people that are aligned with you, if that's critical to your business, or whether you want to try to, you know, focus on those things that are more core to your business and brand.
And then when you consider that no opinion has probably ever been changed because of a posting on Facebook and you realize, okay, I'm wasting my time trying to formulate a reasonably intelligent and rational response to this. So
right. You're
right. Keep it separate. Boy, our time went by way too quickly, and we'll have Sean back on the program. The book is It's About Time, How to Do More of What Matters in the Time You Have. Our Sean McBride, co-author and our guest on the program. He wrote the book with Shannon Gregg. The book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can get information on the book. And Sean as a speaker, something he does very well, and he's literally turned lives professional and personal around by his presentation. You can find that information at yourbusinessspeaker.com. And again, all of that's at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Sean, it is always a pleasure. From our standpoint, a great use of our time, and we hope to have you back in the program. Many more things to talk about. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. The book, once again, it's about time, how to do more of what matters in the time you have. Our Sean McBride, co-author, and our guest on This Week in America. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.